UN Population Division has been following the censuses of the various countries of the world, and their best estimate is that we're going to reach a milestone of 7 billion on October 31st, Halloween. We were at 6 billion in just 1999, so it's been just 12 years since we turned 6 billion. We've added a whole nother billion. To give you an idea of how long it took us a couple of centuries ago, it took us from the beginning of humankind, about 200,000 years ago, to the year 1800 to get to 1 billion. And then it took from 1800 to 1930 to get to 2 billion. So we're now adding a billion every 12 to 13 years. It's quite remarkable.
How much longer do you think as a species we're going to be able to grow at this rate? And what are the implications?
There have been many examples of species that have had population explosions, and generally when they have dramatic exponential growth, it doesn't end well. It often ends in collapse of the population because they overconsume their resources. This is exactly what humans are doing. We are now consuming both non-renewable resources like oil and renewable resources like fresh water at rates that cannot be sustained, and our whole industrial system and agricultural system depends on the availability of cheap oil. Oil is used for pumping of irrigation water, for plowing, planting, fertilizing, harvesting, transport to market, refrigeration, and cooking. And when you think about the fact that oil is a non-renewable resource and went into decline in terms of availability in the U.S. in the 1970s and has been in decline in most countries except for Saudi Arabia until recently, and now it appears Saudi Arabia may be about to go into decline. We have a huge number of people who are dependent on this cheap oil that is no longer quite so cheap and is likely to become much more expensive as time goes forward. And the fresh water situation is a great concern. India has over 100 million people alive just on the basis of overpumping of the underground aquifers that they are using for irrigation of grain crops to keep those 100 million people alive. And the water table as a result is sinking 5 to 10 feet a year. And some farmers are now finding they can no longer reach water and their farms are turning to desert. And they're giving up. So there are some very serious concerns about sustainability, both with regard to oil and water. And when you put the two together, the impact on food security around the planet is very concerning. So to answer your question, while the UN Population Division projects we're going to be at 9.3 billion by 2050 and over 10 billion by 2100, I don't think we will get there, and I think what we need to do now is to work very hard to promote small family norms and use of family planning around the planet so that we can have a number of people by 2100 that can be sustained going forward after the age of oil is over.
What do you say to those who still think that growing populations are good for economies? You know, I had a conversation with someone recently who said that if we outlawed abortion, we would have more people to continue pumping money into Social Security and we wouldn't be in the crisis that we're in, which I thought was an interesting, absurd argument. How do you talk to people like that who hold those beliefs?
Well, it's hard to imagine that unwanted children are going to bail out the economy. But beyond that, the clear evidence from developing countries is that those who have brought their fertility rates down through promoting family planning have had the greatest economic growth. China is the number one example now. They have the fastest growing economy on the planet. And many of the Asian tigers have realized what's called the demographic dividend that is a factor that comes about because without any change in per capita incomes, family size goes down. Parents are spending less of their income on the survival needs of food, housing, and clothing, and instead they're saving some that builds capital and allows businesses to borrow and expand, building employment in the face of declining numbers of people entering the labor force, and that helps to raise wages. And at the same time, people can spend some of the unspent money that they would have spent on survival of their larger families.
Here in the U.S., our population is expected to rise quite dramatically over the next 40 years or so. In your experience, do you see people in the government taking this issue seriously?
I certainly don't think that most of our elected officials of either party have viewed this for what it really is. There are a lot of arguments as to immigration policy, who should get in, who shouldn't, and yet the implications of population and sustainability are hardly ever discussed. So we have quadrupled legal levels of immigration during the two Bush presidencies, George Bush 1 and George Bush 2, and that increased growth is out of line with our long-term history of in-migration that was at about the same level as out-migration, so it wasn't a major contributor with a few exceptions to population growth. Now it's a major contributor to U.S. population growth. And it is happening at a time, as everybody knows, of very high unemployment. It's adding, because people who are moving here for jobs, it's adding to the unemployment. That's very clear. It's helping to suppress wages among the most vulnerable Americans because they can't demand higher wages as large numbers of people are standing in line looking for the same job. And therefore, it's making the situation of the separation of the rich and the poor that much greater.
What do you see as the most realistic way to stabilize global population growth?
I've written quite a bit on this. The biggest barrier now to family planning use is misinformation. People have heard it's dangerous. They think it may cause cancer. They have heard various rumors about the safety and efficacy of various contraceptives, most of which are false. And so providing correct information about the relative safety of contraceptive use compared to early and repeated childbearing is of critical importance. Elevating the status of women and very specifically promoting daughter education and the ability of women to work in the workplace outside the home and social acceptance thereof is critically important so that women go to school and learn to care better for their children before they start having children and also learn that they have the right to play a role in determining the number and spacing of the children they're going to have.